I'm Dana Marnane. I'm the Vice President of Awareness and Events at Autism Speaks, and really thrilled that IMFAR dedicated this time for us to talk about communicating science. It's something that Jane and I have been doing together as a team for years, and it's really important that you, as researchers or scientists, have a comfort level with talking to the media and to families. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how to talk to families. So science can be really confusing to families. Parents are barraged by information in the media. They don't understand what they're reading. The latest study said that obesity causes autism. Well, I'm not pregnant, or I'm not obese, and my child has autism. So, well, that's not the answer. What's a genome? They keep using that word. I don't understand it. What's an environmental factor, and what did I do wrong? Why is this my fault? What do they want to know? They want to know everything. Families are looking for information. They're going everywhere to find this information. They want more than the basics. What are the newest studies showing? What can I do now to help my child? They need your help to understand that genetic research is going to help find the answers. Environmental research is going to help find the answers. Families will think, well, I can't change my genes, so I can't possibly help my child with autism if it's all about genes. So you need to help them. You need to advise them. Are there vitamins and diets that can help my child? I want to do something. I need to help. So what do they want you to know? I'm a sibling. I have an older brother on the spectrum. I am not a parent. So what I did was went out and asked a whole bunch of parents. I said, okay, I'm going to be talking to researchers on how to talk to families. I know what I want to know as a sibling, but what do parents want to know? And one of the very common threads was, it is so isolating. There is no disease or disorder out there that's more isolating than autism. I can't go to a park with my child without worrying that he may run away. I can't have a cup of coffee with my friend because my child may tantrum. So it can be isolating. But they want more information. Your beliefs may not be the ones that they have. Some may believe that vaccines cause their child's autism, and they may believe that firmly. Some don't. So listen to them. They really want you to hear them, hear what they're interested in knowing about, and they want to know what you're researching. You just acknowledge what they think and tell them what you know from your research, what's going on, and how can your research help their child. What don't they want to hear? Kind of similar to what Karen was just saying. Medical jargon. They just don't get it. They don't understand. And some of what you think is simple to families is completely incomprehensible, and I'm going to get into a little bit more of that later. They don't want to be condescended to. So there's a way to find a balance. So you don't want to talk over their heads. You want to use lay language, but you don't want to dumb it down. You know, we think about ACT as about describing your research to a neighbor or even to a teenager. Parents want to know the options open to them. One option may not work for their child, so what else is out there that I can do? And always be hopeful. Even if the research you were just working on came up with negative results, why is a negative result important? And why is it important to me as a parent or as a sibling? So what is lay language? And I pulled some of these from a neat book. So novel, I see it everywhere. Novel is new. Novel to a parent may be the book they just read last week. But new is a simpler way of saying it. As a means of, say to. In conjunction with. Risk versus cause, and so many of the other ones. So, you know, obesity isn't the cause. It's a risk factor. So help parents to understand that. Scientists write at a PhD level or probably even higher. Families and the general public comprehend more at a fifth grade reading level, and that's what a lot of the media is out there. And if parents attend a science conference, you don't have to think that all of a sudden, oh my gosh, there's a parent in the audience, I'm going to have to change my whole presentation and make it lay language. Not really. They're here to learn. They're at a science conference. It's different than a family conference. But listen to their questions. They may ask you, a question during the presentation to just explain yourself. So take the time to answer them during the presentation or after the presentation, and help them to really understand why it's important. Mouse models. Jerry was talking about it this morning. For Autism Speaks, it's an area of research that we're really moving into, translational medicine. But when I say translational medicine to friends of mine, they're like, well, what are you translating? I thought this was science, not language classes. So what is a mouse model? Why is it important? Because everybody here in this room knows it's important and understands the significance of a rat model, but the parents don't. What is a knocked-in mouse? What is a knocked-out mouse? And are they knocked up? Are they pregnant? And then I just heard from somebody last night that they do have knocked-up mice, and they're not pregnant. They're knocked up and they're knocked down. So there's just so much out there that parents want to understand, because it sounds like all the same to us. We're just not sure. So explain to parents. Explain what translational medicine is. What are you translating? That it's research from the lab to treatments. What kind of treatments? When is this going to be available? How far along are you when you do a mouse model? Does that mean next week there's going to be a new medicine available for my child? Or is it a little bit further along? What can I do in the meantime? Help to explain that whole timeline to parents and say it over and over again, because they're not going to let it totally sink in the first time, especially if they're comprehending a lot of information at one time. So what I did here was just kind of actually make fun of some of the staff at Autism Speaks, who will remain nameless. But this first one was a sentence that was submitted for a press release. This 5-year public-private partnership is building capacity and infrastructure to deliver novel cellular assays, animal models, and biomarkers to identify and stratify patients with distinct disease subtypes, as well as a research network to rapidly test new treatments in humans. What? So, instead, try to think about it from a different point of view. First off, it's way too long of a sentence. And there's a lot of words in there that could probably come out. So instead, try perhaps at the end of 5 years, we hope to deliver essential research tools and make it possible for researchers to conduct clinical trials to address and relieve symptoms which impact quality of life for individuals affected by autism. It may not be an exact translation. It may lose a little bit in the translation, and you can adjust it to your style. But recognize that some of these sentences are way too overcomplicated for parents, and what can you live with when you're talking to a parent, and what was just completely missed that's really important and maybe should be a secondary sentence and a little bit further explained. All right, here's a fun one, because I don't even know how to pronounce some of this stuff. So some of these genes belong to synapse-related pathways previously highlighted in other studies, while others are involved in cellular proliferation, projection, and motility, and GT-PACE, RAS signaling, functional targets that may lead to the development of new treatment approaches. And I'm serious, these were in press releases before we edited them down, where the scientists thought that this was lay. And I understand that, because for them, this is, they already brought it down a level, but families need it down even further. So instead try, for instance, some of these genes are located in the synapse. It's a region of connectivity in the brain, which has been an area of interest. Other genes are involved in various other regions of the brain, and the identification of these areas may lead to developing new treatments. And then, all right, just one more to make fun of one more person. This project allows the first opportunity for longitudinal epigenetic measurement during pregnancy and in child-parent trios that also have extensive exposure documentation, genome-wide SNP data, and subsequent ASD-related phenotyping. How about, and I had this researcher translate this one for me just the other day, and she said, this unique project is designed to study gene-environment interactions from pregnancy all the way to diagnosis. A lot easier to comprehend. So parents and social media. You've heard from Jane a bit about social media, and I'm just going to talk a little bit more. But parents are really using social media. We recently at Autism Speaks conducted a survey, and among one of the things that we did was ask about Facebook and social media. And what we found was that Facebook is the dominant social networking site among parents, both with and without autism. And no other social networking site comes close. Parents of children with autism tend to be more active on social networking sites than other parents, and their activity is increasing. They're also reading and posting to blogs more frequently and using blogs as a way to get information. That's also up from last year. So Facebook and blogs is where you want to get a lot of your information too. So for instance, Facebook, we have the INFAR 2012 site up, and all of you should go and like it and get more information. But blogs are a great way to get your information out, and blogs are written even differently than your press releases, but they're written in the family-friendly lay language. So if, you know, Karen was talking about off the record. What you say to a parent appear on a blog? Absolutely. And to many people, that can be a little bit frightening. But if you know your information, if you can translate it for families, and a parent writes it on a blog, it's just getting that information out there, which is so important because also, as Karen said, families are stakeholders, they're taxpayers, they're supporting the organizations out there who are funding your research. You want them to understand it. Should you do an interview with a blogger? Absolutely. But nothing is off the record. You can say something as a joke, it's going to go up there. And if it was unpleasant and unflattering, you can be damn sure it's going to go up there and it's going to be in quotes. So just think about what you say. Blogs also open you up to feedback. Once you post a blog, there's a chance that people are going to write back and say what they think about that, and that's fine. But who's going to be checking the blog? Who at your university, or will it be you? Because you may get a question about your blog, and you want to respond to it. Blogs are active. Parents are using them. It's a way to get information. Should also consider doing web chats for some of your bigger studies. And I'll talk about the CDC in a second in relation to what the other panelists were saying. So now that you've learned a little bit about lay language, what do you do? Here are some ideas for next step. First, as Jane said, notify your funding agency. You want them to know in advance that you have had a paper accepted or that you've got something coming out. Work with your research institute on creating a blog finding, not just the press release, but a blog item on your finding, sorry. Offer up the blog content, either you yourself, if you have a blog, or offer it up through your institute to parenting blogs and to other blogs. Work with your press office. They can help you create this blog and make it family friendly, and it can go onto their blog. Also, again, web chats is a great way to get the message across where you're actually communicating with parents through the internet. So just very briefly on the CDC from a family side, the CDC thought out all of their planning, but they also included, as Jane mentioned, an advocacy briefing. And then they did a web chat for families, allowing families to talk to the folks involved in the announcement at the CDC and ask all these questions. And in a web chat, it's really an informal environment, and if a question comes up, you've got somebody working with you, you don't have to answer every single question, because most likely in the half an hour, hour of your web chat, you're going to have a couple hundred questions submitted, and you're only going to have time to answer about 20 or 25, but it gets you an idea of what the families are interested in and what they're asking about. CDC also had a site or a section of their webpage to explain things to families with a lay summary, explaining the whole research project in a lay-friendly version. And they sought out families to provide for interviews down in Atlanta and worked with the media so they could put a friendly face and bring it into context as to what 1 in 88 meant to families. And that's another thing when you're working on your blogs is everything needs to be, when you're writing or posting or thinking about press release or talking to families, make it relevant. What does this mean to me as a parent? Make it relevant to them. So on behalf of siblings and parents, I thank you very much. And on behalf of Autism Speaks and all of the people we serve, thank you very much.